welcome back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. I've got such a tremendous treat. We're honored to have with us Steve Quayle, my brother, my friend, a man I consider just the greatest guy I've ever known. And I want to thank him for his hospitality, his graciousness in Branson, Missouri. And I also want to say that was just a tremendous conference, the True Legends Conference. Now, Steve Quayle is with us today to talk about, well, to provide us with the epilogue, something that was not discussed at Branson, but is going to be discussed here. And in the show description that I've provided, that's contained is, and I would urge everyone to do this, there's a video on demand, and then there's a pre-ordering of DVDs. You've got to see it. It was the best conference I have ever been to. And that includes every one of them. That includes them all. True Legends Conference was the absolute best. And it was the smoothest, best run. And Steve Quayle, thank you so much. But Romans 8:28 is the foundational scripture for tonight. Now having said that, Steve, I'm going to bring you on. And why don't you get started here? Because I don't want to take a moment of your time away from you.
Well, Doug, first of all, thank you for coming to Branson, because it was an unusual conference. Even the people that work at the mansion, own the mansion, which is a venue of about 2,900 seats, and we filled the place, said they've never seen anything like it, nor experienced anything like it. Even some of the people who worked there got saved and gave their hearts to Jesus. There was such an anointing and a sweet presence. You know, one of the scriptures I love is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the liberty that was shown there was amazing. And so I just want to thank each of you that went to Branson in person, that streamed Branson in person, that purchased the DVDs and will yet purchase the DVDs. Now, a couple of points of housekeeping before we get into tonight's message. Because I was cut short, I was the last speaker, and forgive me, everyone, I don't know how to do conferences, and I certainly don't know how to do only an hour and a half with 25 years of radio stuff that I had to get done. But I think it worked to the good, and I'll tell you why. Because everything I was going to deal with about the ancients' knowledge of circumnavigating the world and why that's important to the mystery schools, in other words, those that believe they'll be saved by hidden secret gnosis or knowledge, yet they deny Jesus, was reiterated to me over the weekend by someone, Doug, who absolutely streamed at Branson, couldn't be there, but an eyewitness to what went on in the Smithsonian, deep within another building, one of their storage buildings, four levels down, 100-yard corridors with intersecting corridors, and was showing the giants, was showing the Egyptian artifacts from the Grand Canyon. And for the record, if you want to look up, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Pewee, P-E-W-E, the person who shared this with me, you can look it up, and you'll find out that he's one of the most famous geologists in the world, but his specialty was the Grand Canyon. He was known for his, not only love of the Grand Canyon, but for his understanding of all of the matters relating to the Grand Canyon. But he was a fan of John Wesley Powell. Interestingly enough, Doug, that John Wesley Powell's desire was that his brain be preserved in the Smithsonian. And when Dr. Pewee passed away, he requested the same thing. And so a certain person that contacted me, and this, we're talking only about, I think, 20 years ago, with credentials he provided to me, I verified it, and my goal on your show is to never put anybody in harm's way. But he said, yes, they have the giants, yes, they have up to 20-foot skeletons, and yes, they have Egyptian mummies. As a matter of fact, he went into detail about the Egyptian mummy that was found in the Grand Canyon that they were CAT scanning and taking apart, and his impression was looking for DNA. So that information came out to me afterwards, and it tied in uniquely with the presentation I didn't get to give in Branson. And so, ladies and gentlemen, here's what's going to happen. You all should have received the 25 points that I didn't get to say, which Doug articulated or wrote that it was the epilogue. But specifically and only for the Branson attendees, the live streamers, and those who ordered the video will be a an hour and a half or more special link that will be available only to you. Excuse me. The idea is this. A lot of you came as far as 14,000 miles away. A lot of you paid for, to come there at great personal cost. And I don't know why things worked out the way they do, but we went into the studio yesterday with our pro film team, and basically I ran through the whole presentation. It will be edited. It'll be as linear as I can get, but I think you'll understand that you will have gained much more knowledge after this, because it's very important to understand the relationship of ancient history, and I'm talking 235 B.C. under the reign of Ptolemy the Third versus what you've been told about history. So the information I'm asking that you do not download it, that you do not, forgive me, that you don't upload it, that's the word I'm trying to say, to YouTube or anything else. I have, Doug, had to, as you know, you and I talk about this stuff, I've had to locate an attorney that is ready to prosecute. Now, why would I do that? Copyright violations. Because no sooner did we get home, literally within one day, someone who had live streamed it, uploaded it to the conference, uploaded it to YouTube under some inane reason, and that for people that couldn't see it when they work. Well, he was just a bloody pirate, and he's a thief, a scoundrel, and a brigand. And ladies and gentlemen, again, all I'm telling you is simply this, that when people come from halfway around the world, when people spend a great deal of money, and when people who have supported Doug Hagman and me in purchasing my books and all the other speakers there, whether it's L.A. Marzulli, Tom Horn, Derek Gilbert, Dr. Michael Lake, and Anselm P. Rambla, Tim Alberino, all of those speakers did an exemplary job of presenting you state-of-the-art information, and all dovetailed. So again, I don't know when it will be done, but I'm hoping it gets to everybody by Friday. Now, having said that, I want to start out with Romans 8:35-39. I told Doug Romans 8:28, which was good, but as I was reading this, I wanted to share this before I even begin to tell what I'm going to tell. Who shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, here's a great verse for everyone to read, especially with what I'm going to be sharing tonight. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you put that into perspective, Doug, putting into perspective, you'll notice that a lot of it's dealing with unseen things. We're dealing with principalities, heavenly powers. We're dealing with things present and things to come. And he is talking about the love of God. Nothing's going to separate us, Paul, nor any other creature. In other words, nor any other creature is what we're going to focus in on tonight. I had one of the most, I won't go there. It's just because I won't give the person. I want to thank each and every one of you, too, that saw the Yellowstone. I got to deal with this. I had one smirky guy from South Carolina and his friend say, well, why do you spend too much time showing Yellowstone? Had I gotten to share what's important about Yellowstone, everybody is always sending me emails, Yellowstone's going to blow, Yellowstone's going to blow. But what they don't understand, and this person who basically, I'll just leave it at that. The person and his pals basically were upset that they didn't get the good information that Yellowstone, ladies and gentlemen, has already blown in the biotechnology realm. And for the record, a simple thermophile bacteria made it possible to put genetic extinction of the human race into the possibility, and not only the possibility, but the I would say declared directive, more than a supervolcano. In other words, let me make it plain. The biological bacteria in Yellowstone made gene editing and splicing not only inevitable, but created a new form of genetic engineering that simply makes, under the wrong hands, the total destruction destruction of the human race possible. Now, I had some, I will say this, no, I won't say that that way. I had some very belligerent, ignorant man said, you scare me. You, all you do is a fearmonger. Well, Doug, after 11 books, 4 films now, and working on 2 films simultaneously, I do my research. But unfortunately, he moved to California and got mad at me, really mad, for warning everybody about California, especially the fact even that El Capitan has had 1 landslide, but 2, obviously Mammoth Mountains. And look, here's the thing. Their guys have monitor earthquakes on a literally hourly basis. They get less sleep than I do, but something's up. So I want to share tonight, and tonight I want to deliver my soul. What that simply means is there's nothing else I can say that, you know, some of the stuff you've heard over the years piecemeal, some of it you've never heard, and some of it you just won't be able to believe. Now, I want to share this, and I sought the Lord about this years ago, and I said it on Hagman's show. No word of God spoken by a man of God or a man whom God has called is ever received by the people of God at the time it's given. Trust me, somebody like me that's got ADD with 4 stars, probably gold stars, let's say 5-star ADD, could not keep that in order. And again, what we're seeing right now is a total rejection of biblical truth. We're seeing Christians embracing transhumanism. We're seeing the what I call, let me just say this, pulp Christian magazines now trying to take on men of God who have fallen and been forgiven, and meantime they're embracing transhumanism. Let me make it easy. Jesus is called the second Adam because we who are the descendants of Adam and Eve, we fell. Original sin came into the human race. Sin is not just because you party hardy, get drunk, and have illicit relations with 1,000 women, as the guy who just passed into eternity probably now is more than aware of the folly of his ways. I'm talking about Hugh Hefner. And we're seeing now, if you will, untold, unimaginable filth being poured out. And, you know, I actually do get tired of posting some of the stuff I post, but until people get what's really going on in the world, they won't take any form of responsibility. I had one guy send me an email and said, I can't wait to be out of here so I don't have to deal with this. My response is, why don't you believe God to stay here, fight it, and help your brethren who need help? So everybody wants to bail, and I believe that's why the pre-tribulation rapture appeals to so many people, because the horrors of having to go through this, especially if you don't have a really close relationship with Jesus Christ, is really almost unbearable. I heard today that one of my friends, and I'll tell you this, active federal agent, Doug knows who he is, others know who he is, those of you that went to Chile know who he is, sorry, not Chile, Peru, and he basically said he was listening to InfoWars, and some guy started ragging on me for being a pre-tribber. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have never been a pre-tribber. That makes more pre-tribbers mad, but just to put it into perspective, those of you who heard that on InfoWars, that was a bold-faced, blatant lie. I don't try and backtrack. If I make a mistake, I'll repent, but in that case, that was just an intentional, troublemaker with no basis in truth. Now I'm going to share what I'm going to share, and I want a lot of you to listen and take it to the Lord in prayer, because I just read to you that you need to be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I remember when I started, and some of you have already seen it, I may not go in specific order, but I'll try and keep as close as I can. One of the things I stated years ago that wasn't on the 25 things list, that was one of the very first things I said, there would be a war coming in the Catholic Church between traditional Catholics and liberation theology. I said there will be those who will still want to hold to the tenets of their faith, and there will be those who want to destroy all mentions of their faith. It's coming to pass even now. You know how that went over, Doug? And as a former Catholic, you know that, boy, that wouldn't be accepted, and it's today. Right now, there are heresy trials and there are heresy papers being levied against the Pope and by Catholics. By the way, this isn't a Protestant hippies, and I want to make this clear. Some of my dearest friends are Catholics, and I know Catholics, my friends, love Jesus, okay? And some of my Protestant friends who claim to love Jesus, and by the way, I'm not a Catholic. I want to make this clear. I'm not an apologist. I am just, I would call this a historic realist. So that wouldn't go over. The other thing I stated 25 years ago, that Catholicism and Islam would merge. Now, that didn't seem even possible. People said, how could that happen? Real simple. The visions of Fatima, Portugal, which L.A. Marzulli is taking on, and also Fatima being Muhammad's daughter. You can see how they'll come together. And also, whenever the Pope or the anti-Pope, let me call him that, speaks of Jesus or the Bible or all the horrible things you said about Jesus Christ, the Bible, God's holy word, yet he embraces Islam, kissing the Quran, and absolutely, I believe, God has revealed the heart of that entity, and I call him an entity, for the world to see. So that's one of the most important things I think that I want to bring out tonight. The next thing, when I started on radio, the Lord had me tell the people the two most precious commodities during the end times would be fresh water and edible food. Now, most people couldn't believe that. They just wouldn't receive it. And I said that when all the world's major volcanoes started erupting simultaneously, this would be a sign that the Great Tribulation was starting. Now, keep in mind, everyone, you pray about it. I've been, how do I say this, hammered for trying to bring this stuff out even 2.5 decades ago. The great tsunamis that will take place in different parts of the coastlines globally, resulting in the disappearance of coastal land masses. Nobody was talking about that 25 years ago. Global ashfall due to the simultaneous eruptions of the world's once dormant and active volcanoes will result in unprecedented weather changes, with seasons disappearing, bringing about global famine. Hello? Now, here's one that no one even considered. Due to the undersea volcanoes becoming active at both the North and South Poles, the ice caps will melt astonishingly fast, resulting in some islands of the world disappearing, while other lands of the world will rise out of the ocean. The frozen ice-covered lands will give up their secrets, ancient and otherwise, meaning alien presence and previous advanced civilizations. Can you imagine, Doug, when, if you will, golden age legendary lands arise out of the ocean? For instance, a good example is New Zealand. Now they're claiming, they've always known this, by the way, but it's the timing of the release, that New Zealand was part of a supercontinent called Zealandia. Not Zoolandia, but Zealandia. Now that's critical because, again, as these land masses that sunk beneath the waves of the ocean reemerge, the cyclopean architecture and all of the different archaeological wonders and technological findings will surface. Now, when I started talking, I'll take a little aside here and then we'll get back to, I think, point seven. When I started talking about Antarctica and I wrote the book Empire Beneath the Ice, how the Nazis won World War II, if you think about when I first came on your show, I don't know if it was, 18 months ago, 2 years ago? I've actually lost track. I guess I could go check my copyright. But it was a good deal of time ago. All of a sudden, then everything was Antarctica. The Pope was going to Antarctica. Patriarch of the Russian Church, Orthodox Church, went there, Kirill. Presidents went there. Former astronauts went there. Secret missions from congressmen and senators and some of the world's leading leaders were flown in secretly to see what's really under the ice. Now, whether you believe in the hollow earth, whether you believe in New Schwabenland, that's what the Germans called the area of the Antarctic, whether you believe that Operation High Jump and the defeat of Admiral Byrd's flotilla in 1947, there's some things you can't deny historically. And so as we're dealing with the advanced civilizations, even tonight, I think the last story I just posted was on Mars, and in 2028, there's going to be a space station in orbit around Mars and people being ferried back and forth, astronauts to Mars. And I like what Richard Hoagland said, I think over a decade ago, you know, going where someone's already been before. So at the conference, as you know, I believe you watched it, I had presented a 15-minute, very nicely produced, very nicely edited Martian piece by J.D. Hopwood, who, by the way, did a magnificent job on it. And the idea is simply this, that in expressing the findings on Mars, or the new findings on Mars, yes, there's water, yes, there's canyons, yes, there's volcanism, yes, there's petrified plant life, you know, ad nauseum, they're going to tie Mars in with the Antarctic, and it'll be, did a Martian microbe from Mars's any asteroid strike, whatever they want to call it, that came to Earth, did that go under the ice, if you forgive me, did that go under the ice? Was that blasted in the ice? And did it develop an ecosystem? In other words, is Antarctica a, if you will, primeval bacteriological representation of what we might find on Mars? Well, it goes way beyond that. Now, let's get back to number 7. Unprecedented asteroid and meteor strikes will fill the skies and hit the Earth, resulting in major population centers severely damaged or even completely destroyed upon impact. This is one the ancients understood so fantastically, and that modern science rejects so, let's say this, passionately, that planetary orbits will become erratic and elliptical, resulting in gravitational anomalies and ancient planetary civilizations being exposed. In addition to that, as some islands disappear, others ancient legendary landmasses will arise from beneath the waves. Here's one that I remember talking years ago, well, let's see, 16 years ago or whatever, whenever you started on radio. Chimeras, half-animal, half-human hybrids, will run wild and no longer be hidden, as well as the fallen angels' presence on Earth that have been cloaked now become exposed. The presence of extinct species, including sightings of dinosaurs and dragons, along with various mythological creatures, will be commonplace. Behemoth and Leviathan of Old Testament fame will also be reanimated. Here's one that I really don't think people can grasp, because unless they understand the origin of demons, fallen angels, and giants, it's impossible to grasp this. History's most infamous villains will be brought back from the dead through genetic reanimation and engineering. The former demonic presence that inhabited them when they were first alive will re-embody and reanimate their former hosts. This has been the real purpose in the acquisition of the Rephaim, the giant's DNA. Now, the word for giant outside of Genesis 6 and Numbers 13:32 is the Rephaim, coming from the root word Rapha, the dead. And it's fascinating because once you get this and really understand it, history is so much more meaningful, and you understand why Daniel said that this type of information was sealed up until the end. Here's one, and they just literally were pronouncing this, I think, 2 days ago on the front of Drudge. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, 25 years ago, this is what I got. Now I understand. I'll share with you why I believe that tonight is the most critical radio show I've ever done. Biological reproduction will be forbidden except for the elite and technologically done away with, resulting in the entire plan to destroy the seed of Adam. Now, as the elite become genetically altered, become something other than human, their chances for salvation are forever gone. And with that, they will believe they have achieved godhood. Ye shall be as gods, which sounds pretty good if you got a lot of money. You just want to live forever and spend more of it and get more of it and have more fun. But the giants will be returning. The horrific armies from hell will wage war against the Earth's inhabitants. Sex bots and snuff bots. Nobody could receive this 2.5 decades ago. They'll be programmed to instantaneously process the DNA of those using them, looking for genetic markers that they have been pre-programmed to destroy. I'd, you know, think twice about going to a house of the rising robots, okay? What will it be instead of the red light district? What will it be, an LED district? Inanimate robotic objects will become demon-infested and seek to destroy their creators. Different countries who have developed artificial intelligence and believe they are in control will have the very technology they develop turn against them. Hello, are you seeing that certain people, including James Cameron, the famous director, are worrying about AI, Elon Musk and others, okay? Biospecific weapons will target large population groups with specific genetic markers, starting with the world's poor, first to begin with the eradication of 90% of the world's population. All you gotta do is read the statements of the elite. People just couldn't understand how it could be done. Large bodies of fresh water will turn to black sludge due to the fallout of volcanic ash, resulting in the greatest migration of masses to areas where potable water still exists. The great earthquakes will rupture the existing subterranean aquifers, drying up rivers and lakes virtually overnight. Hello, have any of you been watching the Strange Signs website, or I'm sorry, Strange Sounds website, or the Big Wobble, or any other websites that are taking this stuff on? I mean, lakes disappearing instantly overnight. Remember, this was 25 years ago. And by the way, there are people that can tell you just about every year what I talked about, Hawk being one of them. I've actually met some people. I think, Doug, there was at least four or six people at Branson who had listened to me on the radio since I began 25 years ago. Now, here's one. Harmonics. Terrifying sounds and their attendant results will not be able to be explained by science. Horrific holes, ruptures, and rifts will release the evil entities from their subterranean prisons. Since fallen angels will no longer have their identities hidden, the people who hate God will run to embrace them and worship them as in times past. Now here comes one that's being fulfilled, and it's only known in God's time. Let me say this. I cannot answer the question, when will this one happen? I cannot answer it, you know, and I believe it's dependent. It will happen, but the time that it will happen is dependent on the peoples of God praying and interceding. 7 years ago, and I'm on record, everyone, so, you know, the critics can mock and the, you know, chicken manure people can squawk, but they can't take away from this. 7 years ago, I spoke a word that God prompted me to warn his people that before he allows Russia and China to nuke the U.S., he would reveal the sins of America's leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God. The headlines of today and the revelations coming forth from President Trump's election have not only revealed the great division within this country and body politic, but the duplicity of the two-party system that in reality does not exist. When the Lord gave me this revelation, Russia, China, and North Korea were not on the verge of nuclear war that we find ourselves in now. The timing is in God's hands, and I suggest everyone take these things to the Lord Jesus in prayer. And so, Doug, you know, tonight when I say I deliver my soul, there is nothing else, with maybe two or three exceptions, that I can say. And if you guys want to, you know, make this, mark it down on your calendar, and, you know, when it comes to pass, give me a gold star. And if it all comes to pass, then you got to understand, no one would go on record 2.5 decades ago and, you know, put up with all the stuff that you put up with to try and help people that only want to commit not only suicide, but spirit-side. We're now in a time period called Technolon. Technolon is a term I coined, I don't know, some people know this, what, 15 years ago, technological Babylon? I also coined another word, technecadence, technological decadence. I do not believe that people even understand within their wildest imaginations that, ladies and gentlemen, everybody on Faces of Book Death, everybody who has an iPhone, and I have one, every one of us has built our own intelligence dossiers, and Twitter, Twatter, Peter Patter, all of those social network sites. I want to go on record, I have a Facebook account, and I think I have a Twitter account that's monitored by my legal team, and the thing is that it's only to present the fakes from being me. And I think, Doug, I don't remember, but I mean, there are literally tens of thousands of sites out there or postings that weren't me, and people were running really raunchy ads on them. They were, you know, attacking, you know, whoever and whatever. Those aren't me, so I have an official site. But now it's critical Because once someone like me, hate me, take it up with God, once I deliver the message, I have delivered my soul. There are people that just simply can't believe that. And so I'm headed now into the time where my goal is to inform as many people worldwide of what we're facing and what we're going to face. So if you want to take these things and just share a minute, let me catch my voice because, you know, this is a lot for me to say in order. And
yeah,
ask any questions and I will answer to the best of my ability. If I don't have answers, I'll tell you.
Well, I just want to say this. You're listening, folks, to Steve Quayle. This, to me, is one of the most, perhaps the most important presentations. I'm going to use that word presentation because this is Steve Quayle's epilogue presentation, the icing on the Branson cake. I believe that is so important for people to understand. And Steve, out of deference to your time, we are skipping the break at the bottom of the hour, and that's why I'm kind of just filling in a little bit while you take your breath. And people are hungry and thirsty for the knowledge that you are imparting today. The responses we're getting right now from people, and we installed this program, we're able to see how many countries. There's about 49 countries right now listening to this. So this is amazing. And I just, you know, take your time. The only break we have is at the top of the hour. And let me tell you one last thing, folks. It is such a blessing to hear this from Steve Quayle. I feel blessed, and I hope if you are not blessed by the end of this presentation by Steve Quayle, it's your fault, because just knowing what he's got to say in advance is just tremendous. But Steve, go ahead and continue. You've got right to the top of the hour, and anytime you want to take a breath or break, just let me know.
Well, sure. And again, Doug, one of the things that I've asked the Lord right now, I told you the two greatest compliments I've ever been given in my life are, thank you for making it easy for me to come back to Jesus. I had so many people, it's tough to sit at a book table for a couple hours or I just couldn't handle shaking everybody's hand. And to a young lady, I want to share an incredibly touching story. I'll paraphrase it. A young lady, and if I crack up, I'm sorry, 14 years old, had just gotten her mother's settlement on her life insurance, and it was $300. She gave me $300, and God bless you, my sister, my little sister, I call her. And instantly, the Lord said, I want you to multiply it back to her, Steve, because she obeyed me. I think she was this is new to her. And what I saw at Branson so touched my heart that people were so hungry. And I think, you know, you remember the statement I made. I believe for those who are there that it was like Gideon's 300 literally multiplied by 10. I believe those of you who are there both in person and live streaming and will see the videos will get the same anointing, the same answer to prayer. Because it's God who answers the prayer. It's those of us who are there that pray and teach, but it's God who answers the prayer. I believe the Lord brought so many people worldwide unto himself that only the Lord knows what, number one, that was done, and only knows the number of lives that were touched. And I want to share something. I want to speak a specific word to South Africa tonight. I don't know, Doug, what's going on, but I am inextricably linked to South Africa by the Spirit of God. And I want you all to take heart and take courage, for the Lord has seen your prayers. He has heard your travail. He has seen your repentance, and God is going to move mightily. For ladies and gentlemen, when I started on talk radio, and I'm being reminded to share this, I said then, as goes South Africa, so goes the United States. And if you don't understand the history of South Africa's racial wars, its civil wars, and literally the communist takeover of a once incredibly viable country, not that it isn't anymore, but Doug, I get people emailing me from South Africa weekly whose relatives have been murdered. People praying that I'll pray that they can emigrate out of there. And, you know, here's the deal. All I know is this. South Africa as a nation humbled themselves before God. And it wasn't just a white thing, and it wasn't just a black thing. It was all people of good faith who loved the Lord Jesus, who knew what their nation was facing. Brothers and sisters in South Africa, we are, at least in the United States, I would say, one revolution away from that. And as you're watching the United States, you can simply look back at your own history. So to each and every one of you from South Africa, I say God bless you. May the protection of Almighty God be around you. May the Spirit of the living God direct you. May you be at the right place at the right time. May God literally send his heavenly angels to literally take you out of harm's way. And may the blessing, everybody who needs a financial blessing, a healing, a release, may the God of heaven, who is the only one, grant that unto you in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, Doug, something happened in Branson. And I want to draw everyone's attention to something else. I brought Doug up, I brought Doug up on the stage, and I asked everyone who had listened to, or is at Branson, I think, whatever the wording was, to basically, what did I say, stand or clap to let you know how many people were there. 90% of the people who attended Branson, I'm sure it's live streaming and DVDs, had heard the message by the grace of God and raising up Doug Hagman. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, for many people, they came up and said, thank you. And when someone says to us, any one of the speakers, you're the only touch of believing Christians who think or know what I know, they were sincere. Someone broke down and wept for joy. There were people that literally got healed. And I'm telling you, this is not making up stuff. This isn't the, yay, I'll give you seven miracles, you give me $7,000. None of that. It was holy, it was sweet, and it was pure. So for those of you, I'm asking a special request. I know the situation of Doug, what he fights in his body. He won't tell you anything, and I'm not a blabbermouth, at least when it comes to this. But the point is that I'm asking each of you that tune in weekly who have never given a dime to consider giving $20 a month. Because Doug's trying to expand to give more programming, and he's bringing in more people, and you don't understand what goes on, or maybe some of you, and for everyone that has supported him financially, prayerfully, thank you. But I'm asking for those of you, this isn't for myself, it's for Doug, it's for Renee, it's for those who work with their, look, I believe in tithing. It has nothing to do with the Old Testament. Obviously, Abraham was the father of the faithful, and he tithed the tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. Some people pronounce it Melchizedek, who others believe, I do too, it was a Christophany, the presence of Jesus in the Old Testament. And the scripture says Jesus ever lives to receive tithes. So it's not about buying off God. It has nothing to do with that. And I told the story of one of the wealthiest gold miners and who owned the best claim in Montana, and sitting in a restaurant in Helena, Montana, and I told him, I said, you just have to get over this. We got on the subject of tithing. He says, I don't tithe. God doesn't need my money. I said, and I forget his name. I'll remember it in a minute. An older guy, it was Vern, and I told him, I said, Vern, your attitude will cost you everything because God entrusted you with one of the most famous, profitable, proven reserve gold mines in the world. And by the way, I brought in FMC, Major Mining Company's executive, to go and see the operation. You know, he had a basic mill and some other stuff, but they were familiar with the name of the mine up by Helena, Montana. And Helena, obviously, has got, Helena, Montana, has some of the great gold finds of Montana's treasure days. But you know what? He lost everything, ladies and gentlemen. That's not to threaten anybody. But, you know, I believe this, that the generous soul will be watered. And I'll tell you one thing, that I know the true blessing that comes. So please, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who've never given $10, $20, and I'm only talking to those of you who are listening to me, who, you know, I happen to know because you've done business with me. I know the faithful, and I know those who are basically cheapskates, My definition of a cheapskate is someone who brags to be about how much money they have, but when you put them on the spot to maybe help, you know, this program or, you know, anything else, I'm not asking about myself. The bottom line is I'm saying this, and they clam up. You know, it just, I tend, and Doug, I don't know why I do this, but to people who are cheapskates like that, that could make a difference, I write them out of my life. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love them. But the Bible says that the Lord loves a hilarious giver. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm making a plea. Because behind the scenes, we all know the day the internet goes down. Every day I get more emails that your site is blocked, your site is blocked, your site is blocked. When I ask the Lord, Lord, is it time for me to leave the internet? Is it time? Will you show me, Lord? And he said, Steve, the decision will be made for you, not by you. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement, Doug. So in detailing this, I'll just tell you the plan. The plan is to come up with a secondary, inexpensive way, you know, $20-$30 for you to stay in contact beyond the normal way you listen to information. Nothing makes me crazier, and when I say crazier, I'm used to data inputting, and those of you who see my posting hours on my website will know this. If I get up at 2 o'clock and pray and come in and check my email or check to see what volcano's gone off, for instance, Popo's gone off, Mexico City's gone off 6 times, and you understand Mexico City is the most densely populated city in the world, or when I'm watching Vanuatu and the different islands in the South Pacific, knowing that in the back of my mind, you know, Krakatoa is one of the biggest volcanic explosions in history, and we're looking at the very same, if you will, areas on the Ring of Fire that have the potential to take away what little summer there is. So the idea is simply this. Please, please, ladies and gentlemen, while you have the opportunity to stand and support Doug Hagman and Hagman, that you do so. Because, again, Doug and Joe and the people that work there are absolutely providing those of us with a forum. You don't think Doug doesn't take heat for every time I come on or when Pastor Langford comes on and every religious guy that doesn't know the Word of God thinks he has a revelation on one specific passage and, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. And, by the way, Doug, the other day I threw, I think, a 30-pager in my trash. I think pretty soon I'll just have to put a dumpster in my office. Do not send me mail, ladies and gentlemen. Do not send me mail because I do not have time. And, you know, when you say, well, I just felt led to share the story of my life, and then you want to have answers from me, all I can do, note your name and pray. I can't give anybody an answer because the Bible says that we're all to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But I can point you to Jesus Christ, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Jesus said, all who come to me will I in no wise turn away or cast aside. So it doesn't get any better than that. And the most, and second most important thing, see, Doug, I'm going linear. When I put up the Yellowstone video, it was to invoke the wow of the creative excellence, the creative wonder, the majesty of one of the most unique, no, the most, in my opinion, unique places on the planet. Because Yellowstone has become a gateway for the exobiologists, the astrobiologists to the stars. And the value of just the bacteria and all of some of the crystalline and different mineral formations in Yellowstone are valued at $1 trillion. For those of you who busted my whatever, you know, over Yellowstone, shame on you and your absolute lack of sensitivity, and I didn't have a chance to develop it, and I'm thankful to be able to explain it tonight. So anyway, Doug, that's kind of what the rundown on Branson was, and I want to thank the people who are supporting you, who have supported you, and who will continue to support you. And King David, here's something how God dealt with my heart as an early Christian. King David, the passage where King David stated that he will never offer unto the Lord anything that doesn't cost him something. Now look, I understand the widow's mite, and I never turn the widow's mite away by the grace of God, I try and return the widow's mite multiplied, just like I did with the 14-year-old. Am I saying that for a pat on the back? No. And what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you want to see the testimony of Jesus go forth in a restaurant, because everybody seems to want to eat that way, start buying people who are praying over the food. Buy their meal and just simply say, thank you for honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to buy your meal as a praise offering to God, and let you know God is not blind to even the simplest act of gratefulness in saying grace. Go ahead, Doug.
And I like that, and that that is something that I watch for when I'm in restaurants, and it's not very often I am, but when I am there, I do watch for that. And I'm starting to see a resurgence of that, by the way, just as an aside. I'm starting to see a resurgence of prayer over food at dinner time and the respect that should be shown. But about Branson, just to be clear, kind of a situational wrap-up of Branson itself, the people there. I've never in my life experienced, maybe Bozeman, probably the closest I've ever come, but the people there at Branson who really were looking for answers, but were looking for that spiritual nourishment, left there and received it. And I didn't tell you this story, Steve, about, it must have been 75 miles. I know there was a couple of times closer to Branson, but I was a good 75 miles out of Branson. And I stopped for gas, and somebody had come up to me and said, I just want you to tell Steve Quayle thank you. And this person, I'm not going to give away any names or anything like that, but this person had driven, it was about 14 hours to get to Branson. And this person was alone and was driving back. And he just was, I mean, he was in tears. And he said, I know you know Steve, and I know you guys are close. He didn't have a chance to speak with you. He said, please tell Steve that Steve and his teachings throughout the years changed my life. And that kind of made my whole trip. And you know, there are so many people and this is not a flattery thing. It's just as we near the end of the age or the end of time or the end of whatever the event horizon might be, I just have to say that these programs become increasingly, to me anyway, increasingly more important, because there's a spiritual grounding here, I think, a spiritual guidance that you provide, Pastor Langford provides, and that we need to get back to. And that's all I really have to say. We're about 10 minutes out from the top of the hour, so go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think one of the things that I announced, too, when Pastor Langford and I first met up, it was when I was on KHNC in Johnstown, Colorado. That was a long time ago. And I knew from his call-in that I had to talk to him, and I think I told him to call me back. He knows it, you know, in detail. By the way, David's got probably one of the finest photographic memories of the Word of God that I've ever seen. And I always like it when people put words in his mouth. Like somebody said, he said something. I know what he said, and he didn't say what he said, but this person proceeded to want to correct him, and all he did was look like a fool. So here's the thing. I told David that the day would come when he'd no longer be preaching in a country church in, Derrida, North Carolina, or some little town like that. And I said, David, God's going to give you a platform to the world, and you're not going to have to go to the world. God's going to bring the world to you. Now, you know, if you're a country preacher in a little town in North Carolina, Gaston County, there you go, Gaston County, the thought of that is beyond your contemporary framework of understanding. Doug, I believe that the Sunday David preached, that very Sunday was a fulfillment of that word, because I don't know what, 40, 50 nations listening. I think our live streaming went to 65 nations. People got to see a fulfillment of the faithfulness of the living God to his servant, Pastor David Langford, fulfilled. I also said one other thing. In the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I do not claim, nor will I accept, that I'm a prophet. 25 years on talk radio, I don't claim that. There are people that challenge me on a watchman basis. Well, there are two types of watchmen in the Old Testament. Those that are appointed by God and those who take it on. You know, my favorite emails are, you know, I'm a watchman too. Well, how long have you been saved? 2 years. Well, do you understand it's a calling and not a profession? In other words, you don't just go out and say, hi, I'm John Doe and I am a watchman. And why are you a watchman? Because I know what's going on in the world. Well, so what went on in Poland last week? Well, I don't know. What's going on behind the scenes between North Korea and Pakistan? Well, I don't know. Well, then maybe you better reconsider your calling. That's not to mock anyone. The point is that, you know, the scripture is very pronounced in these days that the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. And that's exactly what's going on. And let me make it clear. This whole issue of giants in Genesis 6 is the critical focus and locus of the entire Old and New Testament from the standpoint. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Well, the evil one went about to corrupt God's, if you will, the apple of his eye, the creation of Adam and Eve, those he created in his image and likeness, creating Adam and then taking Eve out of Adam. And then now you see the headlines of the day. Men will be gods. Eternal life is just a year away. You'll never die. You'll never this. You'll never that. The oldest lie in the Old Testament is now the greatest promise of the future. And so what is problematic to me is most Christians do not understand the lateness of the hour. Now, look, I don't know if it happens tomorrow. I don't know if it happens next week. One guy, because he moved to California, got mad at me for telling him what's going on. Look, something's going on in Yosemite. And then another guy said, well, it's probably Long Valley. Yeah, well, when did you come to that conclusion? We've been warning about Long Valley caldera and the whole Mammoth Mountain region for years and years and years. And, you know, and then I got an email saying, you're not a real Christian. You hate people that don't disagree or that disagree with you. Not at all. Obviously, I don't hate those people. You know, here's the thing. It's amazing, isn't it? And I told the gentleman, and he said, I'll never watch your website again. I said, thank you. But I said, sir, your problem isn't with me. Your problem is what you see when you look in the mirror. Because he was self-deprecating, but obviously, you know, taking me on. And look, don't waste your breath. Can I tell you something? Getting me out of your life is just simply a click away. Don't do it. But some of you who say, I'm never going to listen to you, you find yourself drawn to the truth because I'm not the truth. Jesus is the truth, but I'm the one that's basically telling you what he told me to tell you, you know? And so that's what's problematic in my world. You know, again, it is so, how do I say this, unusual that people will rather argue with me about Jesus than stand for Jesus on their own. So let me ask you this. What would you think, Doug, and anyone, Rhonda, yes, Rhonda just sent me an email. Yes, upload the QCast tonight after the show. The QCast is the one that I sent specifically out to the people at Branson. It's a variation of the 25 things. There's things I said in the QCast, which was, Skype, you know, and then recorded. But, yes, please upload the QCast tonight after the show. And if those of you want to send that one out, please feel free to. But the one that you're going to get that will be a private link, please do not share that. I'm just asking out of, you know, honoring the Lord. It's because of the people that made it possible to come to Branson, who came to Branson at great expense. They deserve the honesty and the integrity, and that's what I intend to provide for them. So once again, Doug, the thing that where we're at right now, someone says, where are we at, Brother Steve? Where are we at? You know, we are at the precipice of that point where men's hearts will fail them for looking after those things, for fear for looking after those things coming upon the earth. Now, perfect love casts out all fear. I find out that most people that get mad at the truth can't handle the truth. I know you have an introduction on your show. I don't know if you still do, but, you know, you can't handle the truth. But the point is that the truth is a two-edged sword. The truth, if I'm talking about repenting and God instantly quickens my heart and says, Steve, you got to forgive that guy, and for the record, that happened about an hour ago. You know, the that, look, I am tired of fighting the brethren. I am simply not going to do it anymore. I know where I'm going now. I start the second phase of my ministry in life. I can reach more people through film. I can reach more people through DVDs, through QCasts, than I can on any broadcast with people that have a limited pull. And you know, Doug, and there are no names need to be mentioned, but some of the biggest names in talk radio, they tell me, you scare me.
Yeah.
If I scare them, then that problem with fear, I say, look, you take on some of the biggest names in the world that want you dead and I scare you? I said, brother, you got some issues and it's not me.
You're exactly right. And I don't mean to take you off stride. We're about 2 minutes to, or about a minute to the top of the hour. Isn't that interesting though, Steve? How that, it's a self-induced or self-inflicted fear, though, isn't it? As opposed to anything else, because the information's out there, you're just simply showing the information that's there, and you scare me. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, and here's the deal. Most people don't understand that, and I shared a little bit at Branson. I'll share it one last time, and I pray, Lord. It's not that I don't want to share the glory of God, but. You know, when I got saved, Doug, I accepted Jesus at a Hal Lindsey meeting and came home to my house after that. I knew nothing. Jesus appeared to me in the flesh. I fell at his feet as dead. I'm giving you the fast version. He raised me up, looked me in the eye, and every cell in my body, every atom in my body came alive. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, your Savior, and I've called you to a Joseph's ministry. I didn't know anything. You couldn't have had a more biblically illiterate or non-understanding man. I was absolutely steeped in partying and chasing skirts. I'm sorry, but that's what I was about. And then going to combine that all in the world of film. And thank God he intervened in my life to call me to his purpose,
Amen.
Not my own self-destructive
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
So anyway, let's go to the break.
We're going to the break right now. Steve Quayle is our guest, and we are so thankful to have him fresh off of the True Legends Conference in Branson. Going to be getting into more of the subject matter at hand on the other side. 3 minutes network break. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for hanging with us. And be sure to tune into his QCast. And we'll put the link up, too, to the QCast that's going to be up tonight. Stay right where you're at. 3 minutes.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.